You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
The book of Proverbs is a collection of metaphor and short sayings that was compiled maybe 2,500 years ago, basically right after the Jews returned from the exile in Babylon. To add some authority, it's often been claimed to have been written by Solomon, but it's actually five pretty obvious different sections, some of which are actually modeled on an older Egyptian text, the instructions of Amenemhotep. The whole goal was to encourage the reader to acquire a personal standard of values and practical know-how in this crazy world. It's part of what's called the wisdom literature because it appeals to the student to open up to wisdom, to get knowledge, and be open to teaching. Throughout Proverbs, wisdom is personified as chokmah in Hebrew or sophia in Greek, both of which are grammatically feminine. So you'll note in modern translations like ours today that wisdom is referred to with feminine pronouns, she, her, hers. Our passage today offers some of the benefits of finding wisdom. And as we kick off a new year, they make a good argument for aspiring to have wisdom as our companion on the way.
Our words of wisdom today are from Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding, for her income is better than silver and her revenue better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Almost the whole book of Proverbs is about working towards, grasping, and being aware of the way, as Rabbi Rami Shapiro says, the world is the world. This chokmah, this wisdom, can be compared to the current in the ocean or the grain in wood. To work with wisdom, as opposed to working against her, is to live an effective and satisfactory life. Proverbs doesn't prescribe exactly what we need to do, but shares principles that over time and across countless cultures has led people to acts of justice and lives of integrity. No two of us will apply what Proverbs calls us to do in exactly the same way. But one thing we do have in common is the call for us to give Lady Wisdom legs and arms and hands and eyes, ears and a heart. Here are a couple of wisdom's pearls you might consider applying in 2021. Don't exploit the defenseless or take advantage of the poor. Don't entertain anger or be tempted by rage. Death can't be bribed, but generosity outlasts the grave. The wise learn from the softest whisper. The ignorant sleep through the loudest alarm. We follow a teacher who took the principles of Proverbs and the teaching of wisdom to heart. He told us that to follow him meant we need to sell everything we own and give it to the poor. He told us we need to love our enemies, to do good to those who do us harm. Instead, we get all worked up over what to believe when we would have plenty of work if we just got busy doing what Jesus asked us to do. Jesus' priority was about changing the world here and now, one person at a time. But you wouldn't know that if you just go with what you've heard from TV preachers and in most of our churches growing up. That's why the Fountains is really a part of the resistance, a place where people are free to ask the tough questions and to retool their faith, to reboot their belief system and get down to the task of following Jesus. What that looks like is different for each of us. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know when I say that we're blessed to have an abundance, the kind of wisdom Proverbs talks about, represented in our own fellow followers of Jesus here at the Fountains. So in both spoken word and in what Ellie Hutchison collected in the form of 6-word memoirs, here's some wisdom for the way, reflecting on both the year gone by and for the days ahead.
Hello, this is Sally Lloyd, and I'd like to share my reflections on the past year and my hope for the year ahead. January 2020 started out pretty normal for me, even though the infamous coronavirus was already at work in the world. It eventually affected most of our daily lives and caused hundreds of thousands of deaths, leaving behind millions of grieving families, friends, and colleagues. God and the universe are grieving along with us, not only for the effects of the pandemic, but also for the continuing devastation from wars, forced migrations, lack of medical care, climate change, and poverty. In addition to those concerns, racial and ethnic injustice became more and more evident in 2020. The racially motivated shootings, the stark inequalities seen during the United States election, and the huge effect of the coronavirus on minorities throughout the world remind us that we still have a long way to go to make equality a reality. These injustices are not new, but neither are the words from the prophet Micah in chapter 6, verse 8, which remind us of the wisdom of our ancestors in faith. Micah said, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" Renewed commitment to justice came in 2020 for many people on their own and in groups, as we participated in the 21-day Racial Equity Challenge and also joined in the Black Lives Matter movement. And there is still no shortage of more ways to become better educated, make our beliefs known, and support the calls for justice as we enter a new year. In spite of the pandemic and injustices, we also saw acts of kindness and compassion occurring every day. So many people responded to the sudden need for mask making, reached out to neighbors and our congregation with caring phone calls and video connections, as well as driving folks to medical appointments, delivering food, medicine, and friendly smiles. Yes, the eyes are how we know that was happening. Others responded with generous donations of food, supplies, and even tiny homes for those in need in our community, in refugee shelters, on the Navajo Nation, and around the world. We, as followers of Jesus, were engaged around us throughout the world and shared our faith by acting on Jesus' call in Matthew 25 to boldly and compassionately serve our siblings everywhere who are hungry, oppressed, imprisoned, or poor. December's conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, which many thought of as the Christmas star, reminded me that God gives us signs of hope in the worst of times. Can this Christmas star be our inspiration to be modern-day shepherds and wise seekers of Jesus, living out the faith, hope, and love that Paul preached to the Corinthians? While our isolation and restrictions will continue for an unknown amount of time, let us continue to be there for each other. In the vision that retired Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong has so often mentioned, we can aim to live fully and love wastefully and be all that we can be. And as I reflect on those words, it is my hope for this new year that we may all have the courage to make that vision possible for our fellow travelers on this spaceship Earth as we journey together, inspired by that Christmas star. May God's blessings be with you now and always.
It's been a really difficult year for all of us. All future references to bad experiences will probably be referred to as, it was a real 2020. Still, there's a lot to be thankful for, especially the coronavirus vaccine. We will soon have many, many more vaccines, all achieved in less than a year instead of the normal 5 years or even more. The economic crisis will end as the virus subsides. The economy could be even stronger and benefiting many, many more in American society. Hopefully, we have finally learned our environmental lesson. Climate change was not an issue put on the back burner in the November election. It is now at the forefront. We now realize the gift this planet was given by our Creator, the wondrous gift, the gift that which we too often take for granted, just the simple things of water and atmosphere. We must not squander it. Maybe for the first time, the general public has shockingly become aware of the need to end social injustice. It has been driven home to us. Privilege for some and not all must end. Black lives do matter. Now more than ever, we realize we are a family, just like the song we sang as children, red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in God's sight. We now realize we are a family of nations. We can hope with confidence that diplomacy can again prevail. It is so imperative that we work together to save this beautifully created planet. Around this time of the year, many societies at the winter solstice have thought of starting anew. Even the ancient Anasazi sought a kind of do-over. Their concern was that the sun was sinking into the south, and if nothing was done, the world would come to an end. They did something, and the world didn't come to an end. Our wish for the new year is that we all seek unity through kindness, compassion, and love. May there be a true renewal in 2021 that just like our 100 years ago in the 1920s, an amazing change will occur, but it will not only be economical, but a change in how we treat all people in this land and beyond. It's a new beginning. We must take our do-over and make the most of it. This can all happen when we put love first.
I'm often reminded at the new year of the warning Jacob Marley's ghost gives Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, despairing over life's opportunities misused. Scrooge, you remember, trembling with fear over the thought of sharing in Marley's guilt, says, "But you were always a good man of business, Jacob." To which the ghost responds, "Business? Humanity was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business." And we all know how, in the course of the next few hours, Scrooge was moved to come around and have his whole life's purpose transformed. In essence, getting the chance at a giant do-over. And I don't know about you, but 2020 has seemed like one interminable night of being visited by ghost after ghost, tearing away the shrouds, obscuring the past, shining a harsh light on the present, and casting dark prospects for the future. The question is, will we be able, with Scrooge, to throw open the window to today, take it all in, and claim our do-over? Goethe wrote, "We are shaped and fashioned by what we love." And Proverbs says that wisdom should be at the top of that list. So, may we be grateful for any of the wisdom gained through the trials of 2020. And may we not shy away from the struggles 2021 promises, for it's only to those willing to open their hearts and minds to learn, to risk, and to grow that wisdom and all her attending benefits will be in attendance. Happy New Year, be well, and may wisdom be your companion on the way.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.